and welcome along to another episode of the Cheltenham Countdown Extra Podcast. My name is Tom Nugent and we're back with the Junior B Road to Cheltenham Podcast. And we're nearing the middle of February already. Time slips on. It won't be long until we're at the festival itself. But obviously, the big talking points, DRF has come and gone. And what an action-packed 2 days it was in Leopardstown. Great weather, superb racing, and crowds the like of which I've never seen before. Huge crowds at Leopardstown. But great to see, and a huge amount of UK fans over in Ireland as well. A genuine feel-good factor, some might say. It's rare in racing, but we might as well celebrate the good bits while we have it. And a genuine feel-good factor about kind of the fallout and everyone having a good time. Obviously, Willie Mullins continues to dominate at the highest level, but the punters at large might be more interested in some of the headlines he had about some of the remarks about his stable jockey, Mr. Paul Townend, over the weekend. Willie wasn't afraid to shoot from the hip. But anyway, time and tide waits for Mander Beast. And without further ado, week four of the Cheltenham Countdown Extra Show can kick into top gear. And I'm delighted to say hello to our very own answer to the Stig. It's Mr. Frank Hickey. Did you like that little Top Gear Stig? I suppose if you're explaining, you're losing. So maybe it's not that good, but...
Is it because I'm so elusive, is it?
Elusive and kind of, yeah.
Mysterious?
Mysterious, possibly, yeah.
Yeah, but then fair enough, it's...
You're not very quiet though, so maybe
I'm not very quiet, no. And if I was the Stig, I'd probably let it slip pretty quickly.
That'd be my problem.
You know?
Loose lips sink ships.
Sink ships, yeah. I wouldn't be getting gig as JP's wasting manager, would put that way.
No. I think you'd be down the very bottom of the list. our on the agenda, Frank, we're here to pick holes in Ruby Rory and especially PK. They had a look on the main Cheltenham Countdown show at the Arkell, the Brown Advisory, and the Ryanair.
Let me just say, we can't really pick holes in PK. He's been complaining to HR, so we have to take these to him for at least two episodes, they said.
I think I'll take my chances because we've got a few things to definitely bring up later in the show. But before we get stuck in and do get another complaint from HR, courtesy of PK, Frank, a quick word on the Dublin Racing Festival. Did you enjoy it? Was it profitable for you? How was business? Has it captured the imagination of the punters?
Oh, it was a great weekend for bookmakers, really, with the results. It wasn't a profitable weekend for me. I think what summed up my weekend was my nap Rockstown girl backed each way. One non-runner brought her from 8 down to 7 runners, and then she's got nutted on the line for second. That basically summed up my weekend. From what I saw, obviously I was on a wedding at the weekend, so I was trying to watch as much as I could. It seemed excellent. And I think what's really great is with the number of odds on fabs turned over, it's really blown open a couple of races, well, more than a few races at Cheltenham. And you're gone from looking at Cheltenham thinking, oh, there'll be 5, 6, 7 odds on shots to there might only be one, which is great.
Yeah, some very interesting results indeed. The lads kicked off their show with a quick chat about the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup and obviously Galloping Deschamps, despite a wayward jump from one of his competitors over the last, he was very impressive.
He was, yeah. I think that's what he would have expected from him. He was quite strong through the line, which would give you great hope for him. Staying the extra quarter of a mile of the Gold Cup, but he's short enough at the same time. You know me; he wouldn't be my type of bet. But at the same
time, you sound surprisingly lukewarm when everyone else has been ranting and raving.
He's obviously the most likely winner, but he's short enough at the same time, and yeah, he wouldn't be where I'd be looking for a bet anyway. I do think whatever beat him will win, but I don't think he's absolutely bomb proof at the same time.
Fair enough. PK, obviously the first of a litany of errors from PK. He was on an immediate yellow card from Ruby for calling, referring to some of the races at the Dublin Racing Festival as trials. What a schoolboy error.
He might as well have just got the red flag out to Ruby and gave it a right old shake. Like, do you know, he'll never learn.
No. But thankfully, Ruby kept the stick below head height and just gave him a light tap on the arse to correct that unruly behaviour. But anyway, we'll get stuck in, Frank, and we'll start with the Arkell. As we record, Tuesday, the 7th of February at 4:15. Queen's Gamble has just been beaten in the Alan Swinback Mayor's listed bumper at Market Raisin. But anyway, we'll carry on. John Bond 5-4, El Fabiolo 15-8, Mighty Potter 7-2, Dicer Dynamo 7-1, Appreciated as sevens, Banbridge is 10-1, Sir Gerhard 14, Sant Ra 16-1, 20-1, Haddex de Zobo, and 25-1, and bigger the rest. Frank, let's start with John Bond. How good do you think he is? And obviously, in the main show, Rory was keen to reflect on just had the intense quality of last year's Supreme Novices Hurdle, because Constitution Hill made them all look very average, and they're not. There's a couple of good horses in mind.
It was obviously a very strong Supreme when you look at the exploits of John Bond. Even Dicer Diamond ran a really good race at the weekend. Mighty Potter pulled up in the Supreme. Dual Grade One winner now. So it was a strong race. John Bond, he's a very good horse. He's definitely improved for fences. He could pick holes in the form, like Boot Hill beaten, albeit under a penalty, by Tommy's Oscar in Doncaster. And then Monreal, not like, thought he was disappointing enough when beaten by the Real Whacker, but he was even worse at the weekend behind Jerry Kalam. So, you know, if you're being harsh, you know, what has John Bond beaten would be the question. But, you know, his hurdles form is very solid, and he's a very good jumper of a fence, so he has every chance. But it's going to be an intriguing race considering the way El Fabiolo won at the weekend.
Back at Lynn Leopardstown, El Fabiolo travelled like a dream in the race at the Dublin Racing Festival, and is now the 15-8 second favourite. What did you make of him? Frank Ruby was very, very taken with him.
Oh, you couldn't but be impressed with the way he travelled. Look, he made a mistake. What was it? 4 out. He pecked a bit. He jumped in the hole, I think, much better than on debut. And like the way the race was run very strongly, and he was so strong through the line, you couldn't but be impressed with him. And the fact that he ties in with John Bond and they're running an entry over hurdles when there was, what, a neck between them, if even. And El Fabio was probably a little less experienced going to that race as well. It really sets up for an intriguing Ireland versus Britain in the Arco. The one thing I would say is I wouldn't completely give up on Dicer Dynamo. The race at Leopardstown was over 2 miles won. The Arco is even shy of 2 miles. And the fact it's a turning track, you could just see him getting a little bit loose and maybe having more of a chance of hanging on around Cheltenham than he did at Leopardstown. I'm not saying he's going to win, but I think you could make a case for him, while I would be putting a line through Appreciated anyway. I thought the race set up perfectly for him with it being a strong pace, and he was well positioned, and it was tame enough finish from him. So I wouldn't be really have any interest in Appreciated whatsoever, but Dicer Dynamo is one you could make a case for.
Would you say maybe Appreciated was too bad to be true? Ruby was kind of keen to maybe be forgiving.
Look, I know they have a massive opinion of the horse, but since he won the Supreme, what's he done? Like, he's obviously been trying the Champion Hurdle run over. He's won 2 weak enough beginners chases, and he's beaten again in the Grade One. So, like, for me, he's a 9-year-old. He's not going to be getting any better at this age for me. So, I think Saturday probably showed us what he's as good as really now.
Very good. Quick word on Banbridge, Frank. Obviously, we were having a little back and forth and text on over the weekend. We had discussed Rory's very keen to see him staying on into second or third to put him into the frame for the Turners, which we discussed last week. He very much fit the bill, didn't he?
Oh, like, I know Mighty Potter was very impressive winning there, and he's going to be a hot favourite, but there is a small question mark about Cheltenham for him, considering he disappointed there last year, albeit he had some excuses. But Banbridge is a massive eye catcher, staying on so strongly. If the ground is going to turn up on the good side for the Thursday morning, I'd be very keen on Banbridge, even with Mighty Potter in there. That was a brilliant trial, should we say, even though it wasn't a try
race. How dare you? How very
But
dare
it was
you.
A massive run. considering it was very strongly run, and for him to be staying on like that, it just, with his Cheltenham record, win the Martin Pipe and win there earlier the season over Shorter, I think he's tailor-made for it.
Right, decision time, Frank. The lads kept it fairly straightforward. Ruby went with El Fabiolo, as did Rory, but he gave an honourable mention to an outsider, Adex Desobo.
I'll just give an honourable mention to one at a price, who also ran Leopardstown the weekend. Final orders for the red-hot Gavin Cromwell stable. Had a double in handicaps at the weekend. This horse, he was second on his chase debut with Downpatrick, but he's actually won his last five. It's such a strange profile for a horse, because he'd only won twice from 20 starts over hurdles and was rated 102, and that's fair. But he's bolted up the last twice at Leopardstown in handicaps off marks of 129 and 140. Very strong. He was very strong from the back of the last on Saturday. He's won over 3 miles over fences as well. So you think a strongly run article would suit. His mark's gone up to 149 in Ireland. So with the old UK tax, he's going to be off 153, 154 for the Grand Annuals. They might just skip that and go to the article. He's just won at a huge price, I think, might run. He's versatile regards ground, though heavy probably wouldn't be ideal for him. But he's just one you'd give a chance. I know the time was much slower than the El Fabiolo race, but it did rain kind of between the Irish Arkle and that handicap. So it's very difficult to make, you know, really accurate comparisons. But Final Orders is one at a big price that I just give a mention to.
A 25-1 flyer from Frank Hickey in the Arkle Anti-Post. Very, very good, Frank. Thank you for that. Onwards we go to the Brown Advisory Novice Chase, the artist formerly known as the RSA.
My selection would be El Fabiolo. Sorry.
Okay. After all that.
After all that. Jesus. Come here, PK will be on criticising you now next week.
Well, no, sorry. I thought, after that compelling case, you're selecting.
I was just making a case for one at a price where, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if he hit the frame for a yard who had a big Gabinaco plays last year at a big price for them. So.
Well, thanks be to Jesus you clarified, Frank. Thank you for that. Onwards we go to the Brown Advisory, and we've got Jerry Kalam at the top of the market, 5-2. Mighty Potter, 11-4. Sir Gerhard, 9-2. The Real Whackers is also 9-2. Time Hill, 11-2. Gaillard de Menil is 7-1. Ramier is 10s. The Devil's Coachman is also 10s. 12-1, James de Burleigh, rather, alongside Balco Coastal and Stage Star, 14-1 and bigger the rest. Frank, let's start at the top. Let's start with Jerry Kalam. Rory really liked him. I loved it. Headed and battled back. Wasn't like explosive or stylish, but it was tough out, which is what you need here, isn't it?
Well, if Rory's purring like a Cheshire cat, I was purring like a jungle lion. I'm so feckin' happy with him. I've only two anti-post bets done. One is out the window, but the other one was Jerry Kalam for the Brown Advisory right back at the start of the year. He was my horse to follow over fences back in our National Hunt preview, and I just loved everything about him. Like, to do that over, again, 2.5 miles on relatively decent ground, and his attitude, to me, it looks like he saves a little bit for himself. He's never going to, you know, win by 20 lengths. He just does what he needs to do. And to be honest, I can't believe he's not even much, much shorter for this race. Because when you go through it, I don't think there's that many credible challengers in there. And he's a Gold Cup horse of the future. I'm absolutely convinced. And he's going to improve 10 pounds for hitting 3 miles as well. To me, you know, blow it up, ref, it's all over.
Oh, very good. Bullish from Frank Hickey. Let's have a chat about a few of the rest of them before you call it off, shall we say. The Real Whacker, Cheltenham Forum of the book. Rory gave him a squeak. Does he have a realistic chance, Frank?
Look, you have to respect his course form. Indigo Breeze let the form of his 3 mile win down in the handicap at the weekend. Thunder Rock, he ran well enough behind Jerry Kalam to give the form some bit of a franking, but Mon Morale was desperate altogether. Look, it's just, I could see why people were backing him at a big price. And to be fair, the race does have a look of one that could cut up. But to me, he's a mad price at the moment. Wouldn't go near him at that sort of price. And I just think, look, he's a nice horse, credible, whatever. Jerry Kalam's a different league to him altogether.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Anything else for a quick mention, Frank? We obviously kind of had, Ruby kind of reckons it was a weakish field and it could make it tricky for Patrick to get Gaillard de Menil back for the 4 miler, and he was kind of non-committal. And Sir Gerhard's running plans, obviously, with only the one run in Gorin and Willie Mullins being Willie Mullins.
Well, you look at it this way: we'll take Gaillard de Menil. He ran okay at the weekend, but he's still well beaten again. And I know people were like, "Oh, this is a weak renewal last year than when he was third," but he's been beaten in, albeit off a high mark, in Irish National. He's won a very weak Grade One where Three Stripe Life, his main challenger, fell fatally. And you're just like, he's just not good enough. If he were mine, I'd run him in the National Hunt Chase because I think that's what he wants, a real extreme trip, and take a flyer at Ramillies in here. You could make a case for him, but he's not in the same league as Jerry Colon either. And then you're looking at Bally Griffin Cottage with another danger, Blade, at the weekend. So you're just kind of looking, going, there isn't much to this at all. And I think the owner's comments about maybe skipping this and waiting for the Gold Cup is holding up his price a little bit. But Gordon was pretty much saying he's a perfect brown advisory horse, and I can't see any reason why he won't run. And I think once he's committed to the race, you'll see his price shorten right up.
Decision time then, Frank. Rory went with Jerry Kalam. Ruby didn't disagree with Rory, but at this point in time didn't have a strong opinion. He did give a mention to I Am Maximus as a potential improver who could maybe hit the frame on the day.
I'd say he's a better chance of hitting the inside wing than the frame. The way right. He jumps. The one thing I will say about Sir Gerhard, he has ability, but the weekend didn't throw up a very definite Turner's horse for the Willie Mullins stable, so I'd say he's more likely to go to the Turner's now as well. For me, it's Jerry Kalam all the way. He's a Gold Cup horse, 100%. I'm all over him all year, and I'm even more confident now.
Very good. That'll do, Frank. That'll do. The final race we're going to chat about today is the Ryanair, and the current non-runner money back betting with Paddy Power is as follows: Alaho, the even money favourite, Blue Lord Ford 1, Fakir Didier's 5s, Shishkin 6-1, 8-1, Fury Road Conflated is also 8s, Envoy Allen 12-1, Pick Doherty is also 12s, Hitman 6-1 alongside French Dynamite, and it's 25-1 and bigger the rest. Ruby opened up things with a few words on Alaho, concerned that he won't have a prep run, Frank, and Alaho seems to be a horse that does need a run. What kind of chance would you give him if he shows up here?
Oh, it's definitely concerning, wouldn't it? He's never been at anywhere near his brilliant best first time out. The only sort of saving grace is it's not the strongest looking race ever, is it? Like, if you thought he was going to be even within £8 of his best, that'd be enough. But at the same time, it's a very sharp price to be taking about a horse that we haven't seen in a while. And a horse that does tend to need his first run back.
Back to Dury, Frank, do you reckon he'll go, or will he kind of switch to Aintree?
I think Ascot is his primary objective, isn't it? And they said they'd only run the Ryanair if Alaho misses it. I'd take him on their word and that he won't run here unless Alaho misses it. If he does run here, he's a big player. Alaho's back in work, so you can't see any reason why he's not going to take his chance. That would rule Fakir out, wouldn't it?
It would, I suppose. This is a theory that I couldn't really have. It's the Shishkin stepping up and trip kind of. He'll be much better for the step up and trip. Is he just potentially could he be gone now? I don't doubt that. Nicky Henderson, one of the greatest trainers of all time, to get them back from kind of a few scratchy runs and a bit of a wobble, but. For a horse that they always said out and out speed, and then as soon as he gets speed, it's like, oh no, geez, we only always needed to step out and trip. And Ruby seemed to agree with that as well, which I thought was interesting. What do you think, Frank?
Well, he does shape like a bit of a stare, but at the same time, you can't go from, oh, he's a 2 miler, blah, 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 to, oh, he needs a massive step up and trip. He's a Gold Cup horse. Like, do you know, it's like, are you a little bit full of shit, Nicky? Do you know, I'd love if a journal asked him that. though he probably wouldn't get to ask him any more questions after it. Look, he's an intriguing contender, but, you know, as a pundit says, he's probably a million billion to win this, isn't he? I just couldn't have him. He's run, I was forgiving him the Champion Chase run going into the Tingle Creek, and with the other two compilers who were with me, I was by far the most positive, and I got my backside spanked, got it all wrong. And after that, to me, it wasn't even got to do with Trip. He was just never happy. He was never going, and I couldn't touch him. I couldn't touch him. Like, I think, you know, even his 6-1 non-run no bet is basically almost assuming he's going to get back to somewhere near his best going up on Trip. Not for me.
Not for you. Well, before we do get what is for you, Ruby was keen to kind of forgive Blue Lord, or suggest that his run might have been, well, it obviously was below par. Can you see a way back to where he could feature in a race like the Ryanair, or is he too hot and cold?
Oh, he's too hot and cold. Like, you kind of thought the run at Christmas was like the coming of age of Blue Lord, but then he's kind of back to where he was nearly after the weekend. You know, the step up and Trip might help him, maybe. But like, yeah, look, Gentleman to me has bounced back to form to a degree, but he's been desperately disappointing in 3 runs this year. And for me, again, couldn't touch Blue Lord. I couldn't go near him. No. I'm not the forgiving type.
That's fair enough. That is fair enough. Righto, decision time. Ruby's tip. Interesting, he brought in the non-runner money back angle and mentioned conflated good being a player, as there's no clear commitment to go for the Gold Cup. He could have a big chance here, Frank. If he was to show up, he'll like the ground, won't he? And the Trip will suit him.
Oh, he definitely would. He's coming off the back of winning a grade one, maybe not the strongest grade one ever. Yeah, if he rocked up, he wouldn't be that price, I wouldn't think. With doubts among many, I'd probably at the moment take a chance on one of the bigger price, French Dynamite for Mouse Morris. Ran a cracker in the Paddy Power back in November, nailed late off a mark of 148 by GA Law. But that form has worked out reasonably well. The third Midnight River came and won the race in December. Il Ridotto won on Trials Day. So that form has worked out well. And he hasn't been disgraced himself. He just didn't stay at Christmas in the Savills. And it wasn't a bad run behind Fakir Duderi when he made an awful mistake at the last following after Hot on Clore. It would be interesting to see, you know, would they consider supplementing Hot on Clore for the race, considering how lacking in depth the race is. But for me, French Dynamite, probably he's about 20-1, is he? Maybe. Sorry, 16 each way, non-runner money back. That'd be the way I'd play it.
Lovely stuff, that'll do. Shishkin, of course, was Rory's tip, but lovely, Frank. Thank you very much indeed. We'll chat to you next week.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
I thought, have any more mistakes from PK to pick up on before we go?
No, that was it. The trials thing really, really got under Ruby's grill there. So
at least he's getting the episode bit right, to be fair to him.
Fine. Yeah, no, he's ironed that out, but look, he'll get there eventually. Frank, thank you very much for your time, and thank you indeed for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the Paddy Power YouTube channel. Lots of racing content coming to you in the run up to the Cheltenham Festival, including behind the scenes content with none other than Mr. Shark Hanlon. Shark Power, a documentary following Hewick on the road to the Cheltenham Gold Cup, coming soon. And Fridays with Fran. No Fran this week. He's off sunning himself, so no Fran this week. Next podcast coming up to you will be the lads on Friday, looking ahead to the weekend's action. And we're back analysing Rory, Ruby and PK next Wednesday. But for now, I've been Tom Nugent, and that was another episode of the Cheltenham Countdown Extra podcast from the horse's mouth, Cheltenham Junior B. Nicotine 15 podcast. Many thanks. We'll talk to you next week. Cheers, Frank.
Good luck, Tom.